The Power of the Word is brought to you each week by the support of our partners and friends. Today on Power of the Word.
In Jesus' name, we have the power invested in that name. And that's for us. But you know, so many times people get hopeless and confused, and this mystery still remains a mystery to them. They don't know really what happened. They hear about churchianity, they hear about sometimes Christianity, and don't really understand it. You don't have to have all the religious answers. All you have to have is a relationship with the one who paid the price. You don't have to know all the theology. All you have to know is the one who forgives sins and is willing to call you just as he did Mary by first name. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
The story of God's love has far more depth than you might realize. Since the beginning of humanity, death has ruled over the earth. In this series entitled Death Defeated, Pastor Ed King explains that death is not an event. It is a person, Satan. But everything Jesus went through, every dashed dream and every lost hope, culminated in a single purpose: to put an end to death's power.
So his blood was shed for the remission of our sin, but his body was beaten and broken for the healing of our body.
Everything that the enemy embodies, sin, sickness, poverty, and hopelessness, were completely defeated when Christ rose from the grave. Death no longer has power over us. To order the series entitled Death Defeated for $7 on MP3 or $15 on CD, go to poweroftheword.com or call 1-800-956-4433.
There's things that are said about this gospel that are mysterious, and there are things that are said about certain things that are coming. We look to the future, and we look to anticipation of the things that are coming, and we talk about, well, we've got to be close to the coming of the Lord, and I believe we are. But there are certain mysteries about it that we see through a glass darkly. We don't behold it all yet, but the day will come. We will see it. And we will know it. And then the mystery will be dissolved away into reality. Amen. But we find in the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 20, and we'll start in verse number 1. In the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, and the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple that came to the sepulchre, and they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came to the sepulchre, and he stooped down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying. And went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre. He saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And so that's a mystery. They had heard it. The prophets had prophesied of it. Jesus had made some reference to it in their times together, but it just hadn't quite sunk in. And now they're living the reality of this mystery right before their eyes. They're in a tomb and it's empty. And what in the world has happened? Then his disciples went away again into their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet. Where is the body of Jesus? Where the body of Jesus was laying. And they say unto her, Woman, thou weep, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, I've borne him hence. Tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. Now, can you imagine that word? He said unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. This is the experience of the resurrection. Now, the other Gospels give other shades of the account. Each one of them has their own specific qualities, and each writer has its own way of saying what they saw and the way they saw it and the way it struck their spirit, struck their mind. All of them are good, and all of them are a good account. I typically, when I talk about these things, I don't recall ever using the Gospel of John to talk about it. But there was something about the way I read it that struck me in a different way. And I just wanted to read this story. And I think the thing with Mary, here she is. She loves Jesus. I mean, that's why she's there. She spent time with him in his earthly life and his earthly ministry. She was obviously fond of him. He cast seven devils out of her. I mean, they had experiences, and then all of a sudden, here's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, just been raised from the dead, not yet ascended to the Father, and he looks at her and says, Mary, what a word. Well, that's the way he looks at you. He knows you by name. You know that song, and it's one of those songs that I really like, and I appreciate, you know, everything that, you know, went on up here today. I think the old hymns, that really moves me. Maybe it dates me or whatever, but it still goes back into my history and my childhood and my church growing up years. And those songs really stand out to me. And they really mean something to me. And they just have still that powerful meaning the same way that they did growing up. It still touches me today. And it's hard for me to hold back the tears, not just out of sentimentality, but just out of the touched heart. Just moves you. Because it's real. Well, can you imagine Mary hearing her name from Jesus? And in that song I was mentioning, and we've all heard it, I suppose, but... And I listen to it from time to time. Sometimes I'll just get in the mood for these things, and I'll just listen to one 20 times through, just again and again and again. Are you that way, kind of? But when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I have a hard time comprehending that one. Somehow he had the ability to look down through time and somehow concentrate on me when he was on that cross. I don't even have words to give place to something like that. In the agony that he was experiencing, the moment in time that he was, with the weight of eternity and the weight of the sin of the world on him, and he thought of me, but he didn't just think of me, he thought of you too. Every single, now I don't mean in mass, I mean individually. He saw you and loved you and cared about you. And there was this mystery, and that's one of the great mysteries of Calvary, that he could love us that much. How could anybody love that much? How could anybody be willing to do that much? And so again, we said it earlier, we'll say it again, that without resurrection, Calvary, the cross, wouldn't mean anything. There were a lot of people crucified. There were two more that day. But the resurrection is what gave meaning to the crucifixion. It wasn't just a crucifixion. It was a process. But we find here this resurrection, this most critical part of an ancient plan. We see in Revelation 13:8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, the Lamb slain." Now listen to this. Before the foundation of the world, before Adam committed his first sin, before the first sin ever visited mankind, before the first betrayal, before the first lie was told, before the first deception was ever initiated, before any of that, God had already, in his foreknowledge, made a plan of redemption for you, made a plan of redemption for me. He said, before the earth, listen to this, the Lamb was slain. Now, this is God looking forward to it, but in the plan of God, the Lamb is a reference to Jesus. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, and before sin ever entered, God already made a plan to redeem man back to him. When he was on the cross, you most definitely were on his mind. You were on his mind before you were ever born. You were on his mind before you were even a thought on this planet. God knew you before you got here. And he made a plan for your redemption. That's a mystery. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So God had you on his mind before he ever created the world. Before the world was ever made, he had a plan for you throughout eternity to spend it with you. And just as he said, Mary, he says, Bill, Frank, Susie, Ed, Nora, you didn't get left out. He knows you. This King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who takes time for Mary, you, and me. He's not too big, too busy, too in a hurry. He's got you on his mind. So the plan, even though it was before the foundation of the world, it had to be kept secret. There's reasons it had to be a secret plan. We find in Luke 18, verse 31. "Then he took unto him 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." Now he's talking about what's coming. The garden, the crucifixion, ultimately the burial and resurrection. "For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again." So he told them what was coming. Now listen to them. Next verse. "And they understood none of these things." He told them. They didn't get it at all. And that's the way it is sometimes today. We can hear the plan. We can see it enacted in front of us. We can hear the inspirational songs and videos and various things, but somehow we just kind of pass on by. We don't seem to get it. They didn't get it. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. But there was a necessity, even though there may be a callousness in it, because he said what had been revealed through the prophets long ago. These are people who studied the Bible. So these things were stated. But there was no ability to connect it. They heard it, but when is it? No, Jesus is coming. When? I don't know. Well, let's go eat lunch. See, we're too busy. Somehow we don't catch it. We don't get it. One day we will. The mystery will all be swallowed up in reality. The hidden will become manifested. I can't wait. But it's already happened. This is exactly what was going on right here. Jesus defeated him in an open show. And he took from him the keys of death, hell, and the grave forever. And so here we see that this thing, this plan, it was a secret plan and it was hidden. It was that mystery that couldn't fully be revealed. And we see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7, it says, "And we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Everybody say mystery. Now see, there it is again, that hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And so notice that. It's a hidden wisdom. It's a mystery hidden unto our glory. Not unto his, unto ours. Because he didn't do it for himself. Jesus was not guilty of sin. He died for ours. He didn't need it. We're the ones that needed it. They're not even through with him on the cross. He's still nailed to the cross. And just before he gives up the ghost and draws his last breath, the words that come out of his mouth, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." What a God we serve. Amazing. Amazing mercy. But we find these things are hidden. They're a mystery. Well, why are they a mystery? We find in 1 John 3:8. I'm not going to take too long, so just rest easy. You okay? All right. It says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So the plan of God was to bring Jesus in that mysterious form into this earth, hide him out, if you will, in some 30 plus years of earthly walking and talking and living among us, and hide him out for a day when Calvary would manifest and resurrection would manifest. Because God hid him out to destroy the works of the devil. And so the devil would have obviously spent a lot of time to see to it that that didn't happen, if he knew it. But he didn't know it, because it was, again, a mystery. It was prophesied of back in the book of Genesis. I mean, it started right then. Chapter 3, talking to the serpent, the devil. He said, "Well, you'll bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head." And Satan knew it was coming. He just didn't know who it was coming through. And he didn't know when it was coming. He knew there was a day coming. So it was a mysterious thing. And it was designed to destroy everything that the enemy had done. Sin's power was broken. The bound are set free. Those in darkness come to light. The children of the devil can become the sons and daughters of God. Death is swallowed up in life. Jesus came to destroy all the work of the devil. And then we find in Hebrews 2 and 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. So through Jesus' death, he destroyed Satan's power. He destroyed the power of death. Now, death is not an event. There are events that we all will come to at the end of life. We call it death. But death is not that only. Death is a personality. Death is the devil and all he does. Sickness is a form of death. Poverty is a form of death. Pressure, anxiety, torment, all are forms of death that emanate from the author of all death. And Jesus said, I came to destroy the power of death, hell, and the grave. And he's not destroying it when we go to heaven. He's already defeated it. Amen. And that's right. And so Calvary and the resurrection are Satan's defeat. Resurrection reminds us of our Savior. It declares the greatness of our God. Resurrection gives us hope for our future. Well, things are bad on the earth. Resurrection gives us hope for the future. Resurrection reminds of our victory over death and brings us into a place of absolute worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the only way you can respond. The only response you have is worship. Because there are no words. There's no philosophizing. There's no poetry. There's no song that adequately expresses. The only way we can express what we've experienced is worship. It's all we have. God is so good. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I'm the way. He didn't say, I'm a way, I'm one of the many ways. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so Jesus did all he did on Calvary, and then he did what he did these 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth between Calvary and resurrection. And that's a whole other, not just sermon. That's a whole other set of sermons. That 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth where he defeated Satan in an open show and took his power and authority completely. He spoiled principalities and powers. The word spoil is a term used for a king when he goes in and conquers another nation and he makes an open show of those he's conquered. He spoils their authority. He spoils. To the victor go the spoils. Jesus spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them. He won the victory. And in his name, he gave us the authority to exercise what he did. In Jesus' name, we have the power invested in that name. And that's for us. But you know, so many times people get hopeless and confused, and this mystery still remains a mystery to them. They don't know really what happened. They hear about churchianity, they hear about sometimes Christianity, and don't really understand it. You don't have to have all the religious answers. All you have to have is a relationship with the one who paid the price. You don't have to know all the theology. All you have to know is the one who forgives sins and is willing to call you just as he did Mary by first name. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All he wants is you to come. That's all he wants. So Jesus did everything he did. He endured Calvary. He endured the cross. He endured the garden. He endured everything that he did. He lived some 33 plus years on this earth among us and was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And he went through all that he could make a way for us. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So he made a way that if you'll call on him, you can find hope, you can find answers, you can find victories. So resurrection is not just something we celebrate as a historical memory. It is historical, and we do remember. But it's a modern, current, up-to-date, right now reality to those who receive him. Have you received him today? Many places in the Bible, it talks about mysteries. There's Mystery Babylon. There's number of mysteries. There's certain things that they don't come across in exactly a straightforward way. They're hidden. And Calvary was one of those mysteries. It says it was a mystery hidden in God, even before the foundation of the world. And so God cloaked his plan, cloaked his purpose in Jesus' trip to Calvary, because the Bible says that had Satan knew and the demon powers knew what it was going to do, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, because when they did that, they sealed their own doom. They did something that overstepped their boundaries, and they crucified a sinless man, which death and sin go together. And because Jesus was sinless, his crucifixion was illegal for the devil to do. He hadn't earned the right to die, but he did it for us. And so this beautiful thing called Calvary was his trip to buy and purchase our redemption. He didn't do it because he needed it. He did it because we needed it. And so Calvary was that mystery hidden in God that gives us the plan, the purpose of God to redeem us from all spiritual darkness eternally. And if you come to Christ, you can have that. You can enjoy that. And it starts now. Of course, we transfer one day over to the other side, and we'll see it fully then. But you come into eternal life now once you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Why don't you do that right now? Pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus,
do it.
Say, Jesus, I take you right now as my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to you to serve you today and forever. Sin and Satan, I don't serve you. You are not my God. I am through with you. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I know you meant it or you wouldn't pray it, let us know here at Power of the Word so we can pray with you, love you, rejoice with you. And we know if we don't get to see you here, hopefully we can, we'll see you there and throughout eternity. God bless. We love you. Thanks for being a part.